It's Sunday morning, week four. Welcome to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show here on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network at asylumfantasysports.com. Here we go, jolly old England. We have got football being played right now. Jets leading Miami 7-0. We'll talk about that game. We'll talk about that debacle for a Steeler fan we saw on Thursday night. All the breaking news, big headlines coming out this morning. Tons and tons of the mailbag, chat room. Hopefully you guys can join us here. Nobody in the chat room just yet. Had a little trouble getting it loaded this morning. Thank you so much, Blog Talk Radio, once again, for all the great service you provide here to the Asylum. So let's jump right into it. Rick, still out there. He's like the Monopoly man, still out starting that business. He's got his monocle on. He is at it, hoping he can call in later. Hopefully we hear from Scott Fish later on to help us out with the questions. But right now it is just me and you. So let's check out all the headlines here. The big one right at the top of NFL.com. Sure you've seen it already. Andrew Luck not expected to go today. It's a bit of a surprise to me. I know they talked about him as being questionable, as being a game-time decision, Rappaport reporting this. See, surprised the news came out so early. Quite frankly, in the situation they're in, surprised that he bowed out. They excuse me, they got a lot going on here, right, flying solo. Surprised that he wasn't able to go at this point, that they didn't try to force him out there. So the big question becomes, obviously, if you're an Andrew Luck owner, you've got to find a backup option. What's it mean for your other player? You know, T.Y. Hilton, this is a guy, when we get into starts and sits, I think I had recommended as a sit. You know, he's a little nicked up. Moncrief seems to have been the first option for Andrew Luck as this offense has struggled a little bit. What does it mean for Moncrief? I think he's the guy who it may affect the most. Now, in a good situation, having Hasselbeck as the backup, this is a good professional quarterback, a guy who can come in and at minimum manage the offense, I think. Frank Gore, here's a guy who has struggled. He might actually be a bump up a little bit. I think you try to run the ball. I think even with a good, solid backup quarterback, I tend to simplify the offense a little bit. Frank Gore, somebody I might find interesting. I wonder if they weren't playing Jacksonville, if Andrew Luck would be sitting. You wonder if they're not taking any chances here, assuming that Hasselbeck can head out there and beat a Jaguars team, who, and frankly, in my opinion, is getting better. When it starts and sits, I want to talk about Blake Bortles a little bit as well, but Andrew Luck out. You know, we'll probably get some questions here as the show goes on. Yeah, I'm going to recommend Frank Gore, depending on your situation. I think Moncrief should be okay. T.Y. Hilton, I'm worried about a little bit, but based on your receiver situation, I'm not pushing the panic button on any of my Colts here, quite frankly, just yet. But it's a tough call, and of course, there's a lot of people, if you haven't taken care of it already, you scramble out there. I saw Colin Kaepernick picked up in in our league, a consequence, so desperate times for some desperate owners. I'm not sure who I'm playing this week, but I hope it's the guy who had to pick up Colin Kaepernick. Here's one we're going to get a lot of questions on. We had a lot of questions in the mailbag about it. Looks like Arian Foster is expected to suit up today. Now, that's an interesting dilemma we have here. Brent Grimes is out. Alfred Blue's coming off the huge game. And Arian Foster's back a lot faster than I think most of us anticipated. So what of it? What do we do with Arian Foster at this point? Knowing that this decision was just made this morning, they weren't convinced 100% as of last night, as I was prepping for the show, you know, that he was still considered a 50-50 option. Where do we go with Arian Foster? Now, these are ones I tend to get burned on these. And Arian Foster is that weird guy where he's always nicked up. I bring him up so much on this show that I suffered through him with years. Remember when Brian Westbrook was leading the running attack for the Eagles those many years ago? And he was a questionable game time decision week in and week out. And he just came in and performed, and he drove you nuts. And I wouldn't draft the guy because of it. I wouldn't have a Brian Westbrook on my team. Arian Foster's been very similar. And looking back on a little bit of research last night, Arian Foster, in games like this, where you were nervous, you didn't know if he was going to play, you didn't know what his injury situation was, he tends to come out and put up some numbers. So if you have somebody who's been underperforming, if you're maybe in the Todd Gurley realm, if you're one of those no running back guys, and Foster was one of the guys you picked up late to try and salvage it later, he might be worth a go here. I don't think he's going to get 100% workload. I think it'd be silly to think that he does. But I think what history has shown, Arian Foster's going to get the goal line work here at minimum. If he gets on a roll, if he's healthy enough to suit up, they're going to give him the ball. And I think with the way that offense operates, if he even gets 50% of the snaps, I think he's going to put up decent numbers. He's going to have opportunities to get in the end zone. This team, outside of DeAndre Hopkins, is so lacking in weapons that if you have an Andre Foster dressed and supposedly at least a modicum of healthy, I don't think you have any choice but to throw him out there. You don't have any choice but to give him a shot. I think at minimum, you're getting some goal line looks. It's hard possible to predict what his workload's going to be. I hate when these guys come back quick like this, but Foster has done this. Foster has a history of this. So I think you got to roll with him. You know, I'm not going to sit, you know, two reasonable, solid starters, guys that have performed well for you. I might take a wait and see approach. Maybe if you're desperate, if you're 0-3, if you're 1-2 and need a win, I think Arian Foster may be worth that opportunity. So moving on, the other real big news, Marshawn Lynch, a game time decision for Monday night against the Lions. And this is where it kills you, it being Monday night. Excuse me, got the morning voice there. Hopefully Rick calls in here and bails me out a little bit. I saw a story last night that they listed him as 60-40 out. I've never seen that before. You've seen 50-50, 75-20. I've never seen 60-40 out. You hate to do it. You absolutely hate to deal with these Monday night situations. I think you've got to sit him down. There's not enough other talent out there right now for the Monday night game to pick up and go ahead and roll with a Marshawn Lynch if he does wind up going. So I think in this case, 60-40. And here's the problem with Marshawn Lynch. I've seen 50-50s out of him before. He nearly always plays. Name the last time Marshawn Lynch missed a game. I don't think you can take that chance. It doesn't seem worth it to me whatsoever. It's even if he does play, I think Fred Jackson, I think the young back come in there, they're going to get some work. I think you're going to see Marshawn Lynch's work limited. I also think you see the Seahawks blow the doors off of Detroit, which is going to facilitate being able to keep Lynch on the bench even more. You're not going to need too many big carries out of him. So I think you have to, as a Seahawks owner, as a Marshawn Lynch owner, I think you got to set him down here. You got to find a backup plan. We've seen it happen in the past where a Marshawn Lynch, somebody on that Monday night game will be a game time decision. You'll be nervous. You'll pick up somebody you're not real comfortable with. They'll perform less than admirably, and your 50-50 guy will come out Monday night and put up a big game. And that'd be fine, but do you want to take that chance? Can you afford to take that risk at what is your number one running back position? I don't think you can. So I think we have a special guest on the line. As I look up at the queue, I think I recognize this number. Is this Mr. Rick Briggs?
Well, of course it is. Somebody's got to put in some real advice around here.
No, what would we do a thing like that for?
Exactly. I'm just here to bring the show down a little bit. That's all.
Well, I'm not sure how much more down the show can get, Rick, as Blog Talk, be it what Blog Talk does, till about 1 minute into the show wouldn't let me load the chat room. So there's nobody in there right now. It's just you and me, and I'm sure there's some other guys out there listening on their smartphones. But unfortunately, waiting for the crowd to come into the chat room. It just didn't want to load this morning.
Well, you know, that's the thing with our technology. When you're limited to only one thing, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. But, you know, fortunately, the email, the mailbag and everything's pretty busy. I mean, getting into week four, we're starting to get some injuries and everything. We had quite a few questions.
Pages of mailbag questions that we were able to pull out that weren't completely absurd. And, of course, Rick, we had to pull out all the Jets-Dolphins questions because what you've been stumping for, more of those London games. We have another one of those this morning, so that should make you happy. A ton going on already this morning. I don't know what you saw. I'm sure you've been at it since 5:30 in the morning. Looks like Andrew Luck is out this week. I spent a little time talking about that. You're a Frank Gore kind of guy, Rick. What do you think Andrew Luck being out does for Frank Gore?
Well, I think Andrew Luck being out obviously just takes that offense down considerably. You know, Frank Gore had that big game last week, and it seemed like they were starting to get on track a little bit offensively. But, you know, now with Luck out of there, you know, I think they're going to have to rely on Gore. However, that also makes defenses key on Gore. So, I mean, I think you have him on your team, you start him, but I don't know, the expectations may be down a little bit.
Yeah, probably, but to your point, I think if I'm a Frank Gore owner, and I've been down on him, I think I argued on our Fantasy Sports Network show yesterday that he's one of the guys I cut bait with. He's a guy you're sticking with. But today, specifically with an Andrew Luck out, I don't know how much Jacksonville key on him. I don't know how much it'll matter if they key on him, if they can take him away, but I think he's an opportunity play today. I think you know he's going to get upwards of 20 carries, if not more, whatever he's physically capable. I don't know what his pitch count is. I've heard he's on one, but I think he's going to see the maximum of that workload as they try to simplify things for Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Matt Hasselbeck, fortunately for them, is it's not that they really have to simplify things, but he just can't do what Andrew Luck can do or what he used to be able to do. So, therefore, I think it's going to be, you know, not so much simplified, but just more or less keyed down to what he's able to do. You know, the short passes, he's not going to be able to throw 45 times a game and win it like an Andrew Luck could do. He cannot run like an Andrew Luck. But, you know, I still see a lot of the short passing game, you know, in a fairly efficient, you know, performance by Hasselbeck. And I'm like you. I think they're going to have to rely on Frank Gore. They're going to have to run quite a bit. The Jacksonville defense, say for last week, has kept them fairly competitive. But, you know, let's face it, Indianapolis should be a better team, and I think they can run on them.
Yeah, I think they can. I think you'll see a little bit of mixture out of that backfield, but I think a ton of opportunities heading out right now for Frank Gore. And, you know, I look at T.Y. Hilton's a guy I've avoided. I actually had him, I believe, on my sit list, and we're going to get into those in just a minute while we have you here, and we'll hop into some. How long do I have you, Rick?
Well, it just depends. If things start pressing and I got to go, I got to go. Or if you piss me off, I'll leave.
All right, so we got about 5 more minutes, so we better whip through this fast. I think I got through all the other big headlines. I was talking about Marshawn Lynch on Monday, Rick. Any doubt at this point? I saw a story last night. He was 60-40 to sit, which I've never seen a 60-40 before. Is there any question at all that you're going to have to sit Marshawn Lynch down, being he plays Monday night?
Those are the things that drive you nuts when you can't really get a full-blown report whether or not he's going to play. You know, if I would hedge my bet, I would think he could play. But being it's Monday night, you know, I don't really want to risk it. And, you know, really, unless I've got an Abdullah or somebody on my bench, you know, that I could use in the case he's not playing, I think I'm going to have to set him, you know, in lieu of someone that I know is going to be playing on my team.
Yeah, and a report already came out last night that Joik Bell's going to be out for Detroit. So you're going to have limited options there. I suppose you could, I don't know, is Fred Jackson still available on waiver wires? He may well be. The hot topic on Twitter last night, Rick, was Thomas Rawls, all the fantasy, I'll just say it, all the fantasy douchebags out there who like to mock everybody have declared, Rick, and you'll be surprised by this, they've declared Thomas Rawls as the second coming of Marcus Allen, and Marshawn Lynch is going to sit and Thomas Rawls is going to set the world on fire. So I thought you may find that interesting. You all over the Thomas Rawls bandwagon like everyone else?
Well, I remember when everybody was on everybody other than Fred Jackson, when Fred Jackson was in Buffalo, and I wouldn't be surprised Fred Jackson owners would probably get a fair amount of work for their boy if Lynch does not play.
Yeah, so let's go spin through these headlines real quick here, Rick, and then we'll let you steer the show after that. LeSean McCoy definitely out this weekend, isn't going to play again until he's 100%. Carlos Williams, a big game last week, has a touchdown in every game. Are we talking about a must-start here with Carlos?
Oh, with McCoy out, certainly. I mean, look, this is a defense that's dominating teams, and when you can dominate on defense and run the football, which Buffalo seems to be doing, boy, that's a recipe for, you know, success, and I think you certainly have to get him in there.
Yeah, love what I've seen. And I think even when you get a McCoy back healthy and 100%, you're looking at, a 50-50 kind of deal. Williams is performing too well. It could be a Bills offensive line thing. It could be a Carlos Williams thing. I don't know what it is, but you have to get it out there. Andre Ellington, a game time decision, but CJ2K, and we might be able to say that the way he's been running, still expected to be the starter. What are your thoughts, Rick? Do you buy what you've seen the last 2 weeks, number one, out of Chris Johnson? And number two, what does a potential return, or let's say we knew 100% Andre Ellington was 100% go today, what does that do to Chris Johnson for you?
Well, if Andre Ellington's 100%, and we'll start with that little example, I think what you see is a pretty even split of RBBC with these two guys. We, you know, with Johnson running so well, and of course, you know, Ellington's, you know, potential dynamic playability, you like to get him in there. That being said, I'm riding Chris Johnson until I know Ellington's 100%. I mean, you know, this is a thing of beauty for Arizona right now. You know, when Ellington was always banged up the last couple of years, you know, they try to rely on a Stephon Taylor, you know, and of course they had, you know, the Beanie Wells experience and Jonathan Dwyer and so forth. Nobody could carry the load with Ellington out. Hence, I think sometimes he would come back before he should. You know, with Johnson in there, you don't have to worry about that. And you have Palmer passing like crazy. I think, you know, just as long as things are successful, make sure he's healthy. You may need him later on.
Right, and when was the last time Andre Ellington was 100%? I think that's the big question. One more thing, Ring. It looks like we do have a call on the line. Anyhow, somebody's found us here. Looks like Drew Brees is good to go. Everything they've said says they believe he can make all the throws. I'm a Drew Brees owner, Rick, so I'm going to ask you directly for myself, what do we do with Drew Brees today?
Tonight, I think you start him. I mean, you and I were on opposite sides of the fence with one of our Twitter questions earlier in the week. And I said even before the Steeler game, I took Brees over Joe Flacco. You tended to go the other way. I think you're going to be fine with a Drew Brees. And, you know, when it gets down to the point of even a 60% Drew Brees or in 100% Joe Flacco, you give me Brees every day. I think if he's playing, you throw him in there.
Yeah, I have to agree now, and especially I know they put a little bit of gamesmanship out there, but I'm going to take them fairly close to their word if they say he can make all the throws. I don't think they put him back out there if he couldn't. Yeah, you're at 0-3. I know it's a must win, but I don't think you're going to put a 60% Drew Brees out there. I think he's got to be close to ready to go. Let's hop to the phone lines. It's all one, so this must be a Skype call, so I'll just say, caller, good morning.
What's going on, Flieger? This is Fish. I was just sitting on hold in case you needed me, and Briggs left. And also, the chat room is rocking. Can you not see anyone in the chat room?
No, I can't see anybody in there. I wonder if I restart it. Yeah, that's odd. I'm showing nobody in there.
No, we got Road Warrior Dave, and we got Dave the Confused, and there's been a few studs to questions and some conversation. So just thought
Man.
I'd let you know. But you can throw me on hold, and you and Briggs can have some fun.
Well, Scott,
right.
I mean, if there are people in the chat room, Scott, and considering I am mobile and Rick can't see them, maybe you could relay some of the questions to us.
All right. I'll be like the side producer. Where's Cole today? He should be doing this.
Cole's on vacation again.
Don't lie. You're setting up this little business, and you pulled our producer slash intern out of there, and he's over there doing grunt work for you at the farm stand.
Yeah, he's painting right now.
Yeah, let's
all
just
right.
leave you. God, if you have the time, if you don't mind doing it.
Sure. First one is PPR Flex. Stevie Johnson, Percy Harvin, Lance Dunbar, or CJ Spiller?
Oh, for me, I am all over Lance Dunbar. This guy's a potential 10 catches a game. I believe 8 in week 1, 8, 4, and 10 after something, if I have that right. This guy is a PPR monster, and they've shown with, even though he's got the greatest arm in the history of the world, Brandon Weeden, they're not really giving him opportunities downfield. Lance Dunbar seems to be his first option in the passing game. And in a PPR, I know I've loaded up on Dunbar shares in daily leagues. Dunbar's a guy, Rick, I'm all over.
Yeah, I really like Dunbar, and unfortunately I couldn't catch who it was all between on the question. I know Lance Dunbar, and I don't know, did I hear Chris Johnson? I'm not sure.
Harvin, Spiller, and Stevie Johnson.
Oh, yeah, definitely Dunbar and PPR, and then Stevie Johnson would be second to me. I want no parts of the other two, to be honest with you.
Okay, I'll pop to the second question. Mike Evans or Jordan Matthews, non-PPR?
Oh, you take that one first. I got to think about that one for a minute.
I'll tell you what, I'm, really starting to like what I saw on Evans, but, with Jordan Matthews, I think you know what you're going to get with Matthews, I think. Much more than Evans. I'm still, the jury's still out with me, with the quarterback situation and just the whole offense in Tampa. I'd have to go Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, I think even being this a non-PPR, I like the yardage that comes out of the nearly guaranteed 8 to 10 catches he's going to pick up. Hey, now the chat room just popped up there, so I could keep a lookout for that too, but I like what I saw out of Mike Evans with the 7 catches. He saw a ton of targets as well last week, but we know what we're getting out of Jordan Matthews. Hopefully he can find the end zone, which hasn't been a big part of that Philadelphia offense. But getting the targets he's going to get, if he gets that 8 to 10 catches, I think the yardage will follow. Where are you at on that one, Scott?
I actually have that same issue. My league's PPR, but I put in Evans. I think he scores a touchdown today. I think his first week back, he just looked really good with Jameis. So I put Evans. I know the matchup's a little tougher. I had Dunbar for the first one. The third question is Marshawn Lynch, CJ Spiller, or Andre Ellington? And I think that's the last of them. I heard you got the chat room off now, so that's good.
Oh, man. That's so.
That's,
go ahead, Rick.
If Ellington's playing, I think I would go Ellington. And, I really hate to duck out on you guys, and I swear I'm not going to be doing this much longer, Rick. I think I'd have to go Ellington on that. Scott, it's good talking with you. And, unfortunately, I got to run. It's Sunday, but I still have people here, so I got to go.
All right, Rick. Well, good luck. I'll send the bail money for you. Take care, buddy.
Great talking to you, Rick.
All right, well, there goes Scott, the Monopoly man, Rick Briggs, businessman Rick Briggs. So I'm going to hop on. I guess I'll agree with the Ellington thing. I don't like it, but if we know he's going to go, I can't mess with. I was talking about it off the top. I don't know if everybody heard it. If I was up and live, then I can't trust Marshawn Lynch, and I have to think that they're going to have a lead in this game. And I'm actually going to assume he's going to suit up, but I don't know how much work he's going to go. And if I don't have a Fred Jackson or I guess a Rawls, I don't know. I don't know where all this Rawls love came from all of a sudden, but if I don't have one of those, I can't risk that Monday night matchup. So if you're asking me Ellington versus Spiller, then I guess it's Ellington, but boy, that's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh. I'm not starting Lynch in any leagues, so I would just push him aside. If he does play and has a good game, you know what? I think your process is right, even though you know, kind of got screwed. I think your process is right. So, I would lean Ellington only because CJ Spiller is just not a guy I've ever been able to trust. That's probably where I'd lean. It's pretty close between those two, though.
Yeah, and I've seen we don't have a lot, if any, or I might have even weeded them out in the mailbag as far as Spiller questions. But hearing a couple already this morning, you have to wonder if there's a belief out there, and it's a good question, if Breeze is limited in terms of downfield opportunities, is this the type of week where C.J. Spiller could be? This is, honestly, Scott, the type of week they would have brought him in for, looking for that short underneath stuff. But, boy, when you've expected it over the years with Spiller, it's just never panned out. I just don't have the guts to trust him.
You know, this decision might be fully made up for the guy because Ellington's, you know, game time, right? So I think this is the one kind of one you can watch right up until the wire. They want to get CJ more involved, and you're right, this could be a game. I mean, look at what Devonta Freeman did last week. There might be a lot of yards to be gained today for the Saints on the ground and in open space. So I can't hate on either call. And the mere fact that Ellington's a game time decision, I thought he was just questionable, but you know, they thought he'd play. I might actually switch my pick now knowing that Ellington is a game time decision.
Yeah, he makes you nervous because a lot of times you hear game time decisions. If you have one of those guys, if they go, you plug them in, you assume they're 100% ready to go for the day. Ellington's so fragile, maybe you get two snaps, three snaps out of him. You might be wise to play Spiller there. As you look at the Saints and the way this game is setting up and what Dallas is going to do, you can almost see Seattle going this – or not Seattle, New Orleans going the same way, and you're going to see a lot of dink and dunk. It might look like a high school game tonight at 8:30.
Yeah, it really could. It does have the highest over-under today at 48, so.
Wow. I don't know what I'd do with that one. I don't just avoid that game altogether. You don't know what you're going to get. Although Brandon Whedon throws the nicest ball in the history of the NFL, so you always have to factor that in.
Yep, sexy deep ball.
What do we got here? Boy, Jets still up 10-0. Miami is just a disaster. Although I like what I've seen a couple times he's touched the ball. He's an intriguing – I don't know what to make of Lamar Miller. I believe we talked about him yesterday at the Fantasy Sports Network show. Yeah, I'm right ready to cut bait. He's been a bigger part of the offense today, but this Miami Dolphins offense just unable to move the ball and unable to finish.
Oh, man, I don't even know what you can move him for if you wanted to trade him. If you're talking about just straight-up cutting him, I don't know that I would do that. But if you're a savvy, crazy, high-stakes type of owner, Lamar Miller plays the Bills and the Jets this week and next week. He's probably going to do pretty awful against both of them. Then you should go in and come in with a super low-ball offer to the Lamar Miller owner. See if you can snag him, and maybe he'll have a better second half of the season. That might be my play. I don't own Lamar Miller, so.
Yeah, I don't have it. I may have him in one best ball league. Is about it. So yeah, tough call. He's looked better today. They got him involved in the passing game a couple of times early, but just getting shut down. Similar to Lamar Miller, Dave in the chat room, thoughts on DeMarco Murray today if he plays? I'll tell you what, with this, Scott, I just wonder. what we saw last week out of Ryan Matthews, and here we go, this is my Ryan Matthews man crush again, I know. Is Ryan Matthews a better fit for that offense? Is DeMarco Murray, you can't even call him a change of pace back when you have a Darren Sproles in town. I just wonder if his work's going to be limited from here on out, if Ryan Matthews is a better fit.
Yeah, I think he might be. DeMarco Murray is getting hit behind the line constantly this year. I have a fun stat for you. You know, DeMarco Murray has 11 yards rushing this season, which is amazing for three games.
Yeah, that's about impossible.
Yeah, here's the crazy part. He has a 9-yard run and an 8-yard run, which means he's gone 2 rushes for 17 yards, and his other 19 rushes have gone for -6.
I mean, it's just – and all right, this happens one game. To everybody, it seems. Maybe for two games. We played, I guess that's all he's played at this point. But then when you see him able to move the ball with Ryan Matthews, if you're Chip Kelly, now there may be pressure for you bring in a DeMarco Murray and pay him all that money to give him work, but I think Broles has been a huge part of this offense, a bigger part than I expected, frankly. Maybe other folks were on top of this early on, but a bigger role than I expected. And then you see Ryan Matthews succeeding. At best, DeMarco Murray's a one of three. I've got to stay away until the inevitable point where Ryan Matthews gets hurt and DeMarco Murray's getting steady work, and maybe they figure out a role for him where he has put up numbers, where he's got into the end zone, even in these awful rushing games. I believe there's 1-5 catches for 50 yards. He may have a little bit of value in a PPR and in passing, not – non-obvious passing situations when Darren Sproles isn't going to be on the field. But for me, DeMarco Murray's got to stay on your bench till one of those other two goes out and or we see him become successful being 40% care snaps at this point, which is about the most I could hope for.
Right. And something people think Washington and they think crappy team, right? I mean, that's kind of what most people think. Washington has allowed 163 yards to running backs this year. That's the best in the NFL. Their run D is actually stepping up. So you're talking about DeMarco Murray, who's struggling like crazy, playing a team that is just destroying running backs. I mean, they've only allowed one touchdown to a running back this year. Granted, they played Miami, St. Louis, and the Giants, who don't have the best running game. But still, they're holding it down.
Yeah, it's sort of their bread and butter, and they're bad in the secondary, so I think that's their game plan, to come in and load up against the run and hope to keep up over the top. If Foster is active, Scott, do you play him?
Yes, I do, because if Foster is active, I can see him getting one of those 4-yard touchdown sweeps to the right that he's so famous for, you know, or sweeps to the left. I think if he plays, he's going to split carries. He's exponentially better than Polk and Grimes. Oh, Grimes is out, and Blue. So I think he's going to get a better workload than people think, and he probably will get a touchdown. RotoWire Dave made a comment here in the chat room about Lamar Miller. Basically, they just need to get to week 8 when Jay Ajayi will come in the game.
I'm not worried about Mr. Ajayi. I don't think I have my Ajayi drop on this. I'm in Studio B here today. I don't think I have the Ajayi drop. I got to get that for next. God, I almost hope he does, just so I can hit that button all day. It's so much
that'd
more
be awesome.
Fun.
You know, yeah, can I make a comment about this? You know that basketball league we're in, that Flieger Destroyer team I have?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that you got eliminated from it already?
Yes, I did. What is it? 3 strikes and you're out. And I was at the bottom in 3 leagues. That's what happens when you go where you can be eliminated in 3 weeks. When you go with Le'Veon Bell with a 2-game suspension, I believe my second round pick was Jordy Nelson, and my fourth round pick was Kelvin Benjamin. So that thing got away from me pretty quickly.
Yeah, that. Oh man, and Jeremy Hill only had the one good game out of the three too. So
yeah, he's been an absolute disaster, and it's only worse. By I don't know. You probably don't remember when we were out at the Hall of Fame. I got in a big fight with that one guy on Twitter who's in the league who was mocking my draft strategy, and I spent a better part of an hour at the Hall of Fame media day on Twitter instead of doing what I was supposed to be doing, mocking him and telling him we'll see, and then I get eliminated in 3 weeks, so there's a little karma there.
Oh, man, I wonder who it is because I wonder if it's the other guy that's really near elimination. But
I hope so.
I want to apologize for not calling in last week. I was in the middle of the ocean, or Caribbean Sea, I should say, Caribbean, whatever. I could have Skyped, but my internet, the Wi-Fi they have there, it was $28 for the Wi-Fi I had, but I could have upgraded to have Skype available for $7 more. And I debated long and hard if it was worth $7 to call in and talk to you guys for an hour.
Absolutely not. It was a god awful show, so you didn't miss anything there, Scott. We had a lot going on. You get out in the middle of the ocean, I think. In international waters, I think it's an asylum-free zone. I think there's probably a treaty out there of some sort. You brought up Jeremy Hill. Road Warrior Dave asked thoughts on for Jeremy Hill owners. This is one I've been kicking back and forth all week. We had some questions early in the week on Twitter. We talked about it on one of the shows earlier in the week. I don't know what to make of it. I can't believe this continues, but 2 weeks to me is at least the very, very beginnings of a trend. And Gio Bernard has looked so good. I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, I mentioned this on the Bull Rush podcast, also on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network. I mentioned this the other week that Gio Bernard is the super safe, like the safest running back out there, it feels like. It feels like no matter what, he is going to get 10 to 15 touches, probably 4 or 5 receptions. In PPR leagues, he'll never get below 10 points. I can't even see it happening. So that's, you know, kudos for those guys to be able to play Gio in his flex. I'm not worried about Jeremy Hill just yet. I don't think Eddie Lacy started the season really slow last year as well. I think this just happens sometimes. It's the game flow, the matchup, things like this happen. Most of the time it happens like week 4, week 9, and week 14. It just so happens that Jeremy Hill's with 3 in a row to start the season. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, it's just so dynamic. What we saw out of week 1 is what you expected going forward. I don't know if game plan gets away from him a little bit. You haven't seen a ton of carries, and so then it becomes game flow, what's happening in the game. And that's the danger when you have a guy like Gio Bernard behind him. Sometimes the game flows dictate that Bernard's the better option. I don't know how you predict that. So sitting in the seats that we're sitting in, Scott, trying to predict this stuff week in and week out, that's the danger. That's the hard part as an owner and as somebody who's trying to predict. I don't know how you can predict what game flow is going to be. You're always going to have that danger, but I think he's one of those guys you're just going to have to grin and bear it a little bit some weeks, because there's going to be weeks like week 1, and Oakland has proven to be reasonable against the run anyhow. Week 1, boy, you load up on anybody going against that Raiders front 7 at running back, and that hasn't panned out. I think you just sort of got to grin and bear it, hope those good weeks outweigh those awful weeks, which I assume they're going to do, but you give me 2 or 3 more weeks of this, then maybe I'll panic.
Yeah, and unless you drafted Gronk or punted running back, he's your RB2. In most leagues, he's your RB2 anyway. So I would still absolutely love Jeremy Hill as my RB2 in most leagues. I'd be a little hesitant, but yeah, like you said, the problem is Gio Bernard's skill set translates better for a high-tempo game. So if Cincinnati keeps getting in these, the 3-0 Cincinnati Bengals keep getting in these high-tempo games, I would be a little worried.
Yeah, no question about it. If desperate, could Reggie Bush be a sneaky PPR play today with the Niners likely to be behind and Green Bay being the king of giving garbage 9 points? Which, boy, is that true, as Jeremy Maclin buried me on Monday night in 2 different leagues last week. you go in with 25 and 30 point leads and think you're golden and Jeremy Maclin smacks you around. Nothing stings worse than that. Any trust in Reggie Bush, Scott?
I think that Dave put it absolutely perfectly. If desperate, he's a sneaky PPR play. He's not the kind of guy in most of my leagues where I would have him in my lineup. But if you're sitting on, like, Marshawn Lynch and Andre Ellington and players like that that you're kind of curious if they're even going to play and stuff like that, I might go, hey, you know, Reggie Bush is, you know, he's going to play. He's going to probably be in for some garbage time because I don't think Hyde will be in for garbage time. I do like that call. I hadn't even thought of that. That's a pretty good call by Dave there.
Yeah, really. We don't think too often about Rick Bush these days. I think the key word's desperate. It's not a chance I want to take. There will be garbage time opportunities. I think that's where there is no debate that Green Bay just goes in and massacres San Francisco. You always worry about Reggie Bush's touches. You always worry about, is he going to go down on his first touch of the game? And that's what would keep me away. I think this would actually be obvious if you had any faith that Reggie Bush could stay healthy. Although if Reggie Bush could stay healthy, this might not be a sneaky pick. So I think if you're really desperate, and I think that's the key word, what's your desperation? You need a shoot moon, to use your phrase, Scott, type of guy. You're 1-3, you're 1-2, you're 0-3. You really need to make a move. This might be the type of guy you need right there. So, yeah, I think it's worth a shot. I don't know if I take the risk, say, in a daily league or something like that. But if I'm maybe if I'm a Marshawn Lynch owner and I don't have any good backup options throughout the day here, Reggie Bush might be the guy I take the risk with over Lynch and that whole situation in Seattle on Monday.
Yeah, I'm not playing Lynch in anything, and I just wanted to make mention, Arian Foster is on the field warming up.
Yes, I think you have to. I think David mentioned earlier in the chat room, you know, nervous unless you have don't have a better option. I'll tell you what, how many times has Arian Foster been in this situation where we didn't know until, and this is nice, you know, at 10:42 we know already. How many times have we seen Foster where we didn't know till 10 minutes before kickoff if he was going to go, and he just goes out and puts up numbers? Look, his work's going to be limited. If you know he's going to get all the goal line work, you know he's going to get rolling. This is just something Arian Foster does. And then he's probably going to get nicked at some point in the second quarter, and I'm going to throw my hands up and say, I blew this one again, and he's going to come back after halftime. He's going to get his work. I wouldn't be stunned to see him get 2 touchdowns today, quite frankly. This is just – Arian Foster does this. This is who he is. He drives me nuts. I tend to not own Arian Foster for this reason, and it burns me year after year. But he will drive you insane every Sunday morning. I think if he goes, you've got to get Arian Foster in your lineup, unless you've got 2 serious, serious backs ahead of him.
It depends on the starting requirements, but I have trouble believing in a lot of leagues you have a flex better than Arian Foster right now, you know, if he goes. And you're completely right on that. It's not like Marshawn Lynch being 60-40 or 40-60 or whatever for Monday night. Marshawn Lynch has proven to go into a game, be dinged up, and have, like last week, have 5 or 6 carries and come out. Or his back seizes up right before game time. I mean, that's Marshawn Lynch's history. Arian Foster's history is just what you said. You know, he'll be dinged up and he'll go in the game and he'll get 140 yards with 3 touchdowns, and then you're kicking yourself. So, and not only that, Bill O'Brien comes from the Belichick school. So, I mean, you saw it on Hard Knocks. He keeps stuff close to the vest. So Arian Foster might be full ready to go, and they're just being, you know, little jerks about it, right? So,
that's true,
I would lean towards Foster.
Yeah, and I think we may have some questions. We'll get into the mailbag here real quick. Don't know if you're watching the game, Scott, but I don't think everybody knows. But if I'm not mistaken, on the Bull Rush podcast, you did recommend Jake Stoneburner, tight end for the Dolphins, to start this week, right? He just found the end zone, as you predicted.
He was our start of the week, actually. We said if you have Graham, bench him. Gronk's on bye. If you have Kelsey, forget about that dude. Jake Stoneburner. That's where the money is.
I got to be honest. I didn't know until 4 minutes ago there was a man named Jake Stoneburner on the planet, let alone on the Miami Dolphins, I have to admit. So here we go. Coach Philbin.
Oh, he's not an Ohio State fan or what?
No, I'm a lowly Pitt fan. Although we got a big win against Virginia Tech and their injured second quarterback yesterday, but I'm going to take it as a Pitt fan. We don't get much to celebrate over here. So let's go. Before we get into the questions, I had a couple starts and sits. So what we'll do, I don't know if you have any off the top of your head, you can throw them in, or you can just tell me if I'm nuts on mine.
We have wasted a lot of time on random crap. Let's hear your starts and sits and picks for the games. Let's go through it. People love those.
Oh, yeah, we can do that too. So my quarterback this week, I went deep on my starts this week. And look, and we're starting into bye weeks. We have the Drew Brees situation. We've got the Andrew Luck situation. Blake Bortles is a guy who's caught my eye a little bit. Going up against that Colts, in his last two games, he's got 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, averaging about 260 yards a game. I think Blake Bortles is a guy who isn't going to kill you. In two leagues now, I've seen Andrew Luck owners pick up Colin Kaepernick and plug him in their lineups. That's a guy. He could have high-end and garbage time. You see what he did against Pittsburgh. So I understand almost the Kaepernick move. But a Blake Bortles isn't a guy who's going to kill you. He's not going to put up 30. I understand that. But this is a guy who give me 18 to 22 points almost comfortably. But I consider a banged-up and an outright bad Colts secondary. Blake Bortles is a guy I'm intrigued by this week.
Yeah, that's I like his matchup with Indy. I would like him. I'd actually like it more if Luck were playing. Isn't that weird? Because I feel like they would fall behind more, and that Bortles would have to pass. But I do like that. I do like that matchup this week. So I think that's a fairly nice call. But if you're starting Bortles, you got to have major injury problems, or it's a super flex league probably.
Right. There's not a lot of guys I'm going to recommend him over. And now that it seems like Brees is 100%, I think you got to go there. At running back, I think you're starting this guy anyhow, quite frankly. But we don't talk about him enough, I feel like. And I just want to get his name out there. But Mark Ingram tonight against Dallas, I think they're going to try to establish that running game a little bit. You saw what Devontae Freeman did to the Cowboys' vaunted defense last week. I think Mark Ingram sets up for a big week. And this is a guy I've loaded up in a fairly discounted rate in all my FanDuel leagues.
Yeah, I love Mark Ingram this week. That's another reason why I'm so hesitant on CJ Spiller, is because I feel like this is a big Mark Ingram week. Love that call.
I think it has to be. Wide receiver, this one was obvious. This was tough this week to find anybody sneaky. But if there's anybody out there who hasn't jumped on the Amari Cooper bandwagon yet, now's the time to do it, especially against that god-awful Bears defense. But if we get, Scott, I'm telling you, 10 to 12 Amari Cooper questions a week. The reason I put him down here is to start the discussion. Amari Cooper is in every week's start. I don't care the matchup. Yep. I think he's matchup proof. Amari Cooper is in the elite status right now of fantasy wide receivers.
Yeah, I actually have a start sit for you regarding Amari Cooper and a question that falls right in this topic. I completely agree. Love Amari Cooper. I mean, what? Two straight weeks, 300 yards for David Carr. Derek Carr, excuse me. I love Amari Cooper. I think you have to start him every week. I think he's a wide receiver 1/2 every week. So the start sit I got just a moment ago, and since we're talking about him, Dante Moncrief, Allen Robinson, or Torrey Smith, or bring Amari Cooper up from his taxi squad and cut Torrey Smith.
Oh, just not even a question. I mean, that's 100%. Torrey Smith, talk about a letdown. I thought that was going to be a good fit out there. And quite frankly, Anquan Boldin's disappeared. Torrey Smith has been he's been what he was with the Ravens, where he could disappear for weeks at a time without giving you that 200-yard, 2-touchdown game that you get every 4 or 5 weeks out of Torrey Smith. Amari Cooper, he might be on the top of that list, quite frankly, of the other players he has. I think Amari Cooper's your best wide receiver there.
Yeah, and with Luck out, Moncrief, I mean, I can understand wanting to just hold Amari down there and have the extra roster spot. But Moncrief loses Luck today. Allen Robinson, I mean, he's got Bortles throwing him today, right? So maybe that's an option. But, yeah, I cannot leave those Amari Cooper points on my taxi squad unless I'm just loaded.
Right, yeah. And I think Robinson will be fine, and he's definitely a start. And he's another daily play for me this week. You still get a good value on him. Got a couple in the chat room here. Here's Dave again. Hard to recall a season where so many early RBs haven't panned out. That said, and you being our roving Vikings reporter, Scott, thoughts today on C.J. Anderson against those Vikes?
Oh, Jesus. Well, they held down Melvin Gordon, and Danny Woodhead to a good degree last week until garbage time, and they still held him down. But, whoa, what's going on? Oh, I had an echo for a second. Sorry. I don't know that this is the week that C.J. Anderson gets back on track, and I hate to see it because that front of the Vikes is good. The linebackers can move side to side. You know, I don't know that C.J. is going to have a huge week. I think that Carlos Hyde week was a complete anomaly for what the season is going to be like. So I know you drafted C.J. Anderson high, but I think he's more of a flex play. I think he's more in line there with, like, an Arian Foster type. Like, you got to be really hesitant to play him. I think I'd actually start Foster over C.J. Anderson this week.
Oh, I wouldn't even think about it. So in talking about C.J. Anderson, I've gone on about it. Rick talked about it a little bit last week. At what point do you – and I got to be honest here. Here's this disclaimer. Yeah, this is a guy I said it wasn't going to happen in the preseason, so I got to be honest. I own no C.J. Anderson, and I'm rooting for him to continue to fail. I will happily admit that. At any point does he bust out of this? At any point as this offense changes – more to what Peyton Manning likes to do from what Gary Kubiak likes to do, which we're seeing the evolution of that, of Manning telling Kubiak to zip it, we're going to do things my way and win football games. Does C.J. Anderson ever bust out of this funk? I'm just not seeing it, and they're giving Hillman so many opportunities. There might be a game here or there. Do you see this turning around? I don't think he gets himself back up into that number one category. It's almost too late at this point. But what do you do with C.J. Anderson?
Okay. You know, this is probably not the best analogy, but it's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. And I do not want to make light of domestic violence in any way, but it's kind of like that situation where you're with this person and, you know, they crap on you all the time, but then they do something really nice. Like, I feel like C.J. Anderson's going to have a week in week, like, six. He's going to have a huge week. And then you'll be like, oh, he's awesome. I love him again. And then you're going to take more of his crap for several more weeks. I feel like he might be that back this season, that he's going to have 3 to 5 really good weeks that are going to make you be like, oh, that's why I drafted him. And the rest of the week, he's just going to crap on you.
Yeah, I don't trust, especially a Denver guy, and I won't go through the whole thing again. Anybody who listens to this show is tired of hearing it. But a Denver guy, number one, you never know who it's going to be. A Denver guy with a Hillman behind him, number two, and who's drastically underperformed. There will be a point where Peyton will lock in on him. They're going to have the right matchup. Although that AFC West, it's tough to run the ball out there. This isn't the West we've seen in the last couple of years. But I think C.J., if you can get anything from him, I guess you don't give him away. You keep him stashed for bye weeks for injuries and hope you catch lightning in a bottle for one of those 4 or 5 games you were talking about. But he's my Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews just keeps beating me and keep kicking me and apologizing and buying me flowers. And I stuck with him for years. And, you know, I got the payoff a few weeks. And then he kicked me in the teeth over and over again, to stick with your analogy. Although, yes, disclaimer, we're very anti-domestic violence here at the Asylum Fan Sports Show. PPR flex, Woodhead or Harbin? That's a tough one there with Watkins out this week.
Oof, yeah, and Tyrod seems to really like Harvin. I'm regretting trading Harvin in every league this offseason. I thought that was smart to get out before he had no value, and apparently I was wrong on that. You know, I know it's going to sound weird. Cleveland, I think this is going to be a Melvin Gordon game today. I really do. Even though Woodhead is the red zone guy, I would take Harvin. I would take Harvin in for a Buffalo team that seems to score 30-plus points every week nowadays.
Yeah, any most weeks I'm going to take Woodhead there. He's a safer play, number one. You know he's going to get the goal line kick. I agree. All the talk this week, everything I've read from other fantasy people, from NFL people, from San Diego, is Melvin Gordon seems to be a play this week. Melvin Gordon sets up well for this week. And I've started to buy into it, even though I'm not a Melvin Gordon guy necessarily. Woodhead's going to have some value, but this is one of them cases where you got to ride the wave. It may come crashing down. Percy Harvin has quite the history of that. And do any of us believe, I guess I'll ask you, Scott, that the Buffalo Bills and Tyrod Taylor are a 35-point-a-week type of team? I think it might come crashing down, but I'm going to ride this wave until it does. And to your point, the way Taylor plays fits perfectly for what Harvin does, and he loves Harvin, he leans on Harvin. Then you take an option like Sammy Watkins out of the lineup. I don't think you have any choice here. It's going to come a week. It's going to come crashing down, but I'm going to ride the wave for right now.
Yep, me too. And the Giants, their opponent, it's in Buffalo. The Giants have allowed the most passing yards in the NFL this year. So that also helps Harvin. I don't know that Buffalo will score 35 points, but I feel like this game could have more offense than we think. I would not be shocked if it's, you know, both teams are in the 20s or even the 30s. So this is a week that I don't think it's going to come crashing down.
Yeah, I wouldn't think. Just an uninspired team. Even that win against Washington, I think New York's got real problems there. We have non-PPR, John Brown, Mike Evans, James Jones. We need two.
Oh, well, I'm going Evans and James Jones. Right now, Larry Fitzgerald is the boy. He is the king over there with Palmer, even though I thought, you know, the fact that John Brown and Carson Palmer were living together this offseason training and, you know, grocery shopping together and making pancakes and getting dressed up in their bosom buddies outfits and stuff. Apparently that didn't make the connection that Larry Fitz and Carson have. So I would rather go with Mike Evans and James Jones, who I think will both score this week probably, or both have a very high chance of scoring.
Yeah, you can't get off of James Jones. Talk about being able to, they say you can't go home again. Apparently you can. If you're James Jones and Aaron Rodgers, loving him looking that way. Devontae Adams has been a disaster. I think he's going to be today, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, James Jones, the obvious one there. Love what I saw. I was in a panic after Mike Evans came back in week two and got targeted twice, no catches. I think we saw who Evans is going to be in that offense. He's going to be the target guy. Vincent Jackson owners are the folks I'm worried about. So I like Evans there. John Brown, you said it all. I can't even follow up on that, but Larry Fitzgerald continues to roll, and I think if Palmer's healthy, why do you ever bust up that connection? As an Antonio Brown owner, Scott, are you in a panic yet?
No. I know it's scary not having Big Ben, but I feel like Antonio Brown, well, if you mean in a panic, I'm a little more hesitant on starting him. He moves from the clear-cut top player on your team to more of a wide receiver two or three or flex play for a few weeks here, but I'm not moving him at all. I know Ben's going to be back for my fantasy playoffs. I just hope I can ride it out.
Yeah, and it's scary what we saw on Thursday, but one thing I'm telling myself and why I'm not in a panic quite yet, excuse me, is that let's keep in mind that Michael Vick came in and started this game on Thursday on 3 days practice. Now, obviously, Antonio Brown's numbers are going to take a hit, but I think we saw a little bit in the preseason and a wee little bit on Thursday. Vick can still get the ball downfield. He's still got the arm. I don't know if he can read the defense. He really never was his strong suit, quite frankly. Antonio Brown is too good of a talent. The secondary can't take him away. Now they go to a Monday night game. So now they have 8-9 days of practice to get Michael Vick more in tune with that offense. I think we see it affects Le'Veon Bell not at all. Antonio Brown, he may lay some stinkers in these next 4 to 6 weeks. His numbers are going to be down. You're going to have to temper your expectations. I own Antonio Brown in all my local leagues, all my non-best ball leagues. He's the guy I took the risk this year. And if I was draft five, I took him over the run. And I know it's going to hurt a little bit, and I've fielded 27 trade offers, I swear, this week, and I'm not touching it. I think he's going to be – we're not going to see 11 for 190 in a touch at any given week. But in a PPR league, I still think once you wake up and running, you're looking at a 7-8 catch guy approaching 100 with yards after catch if he can get that rolling. I'm not panicked with Antonio Brown whatsoever. It's going to be down, but I'm not panicked at all.
Right, and something that people aren't really talking about that is also good for Antonio Brown. Next Monday night, Martavis Bryant comes back, who Michael Vick hit for a 43-yard touchdown in the preseason. Martavis Bryant could – I mean, the other wide receivers for the Steelers have not been, you know, the studs that – you know, well, I guess nobody thought they'd be. But Martavis Bryant could spread, you know – force defenders to actually take a look at him. So that might open things up a little more for Brown.
Yeah, I think it does. And Vic did seem to have a great rapport. And that was talk in practice as well when they brought Vic in. Him and Bryant seemed to hook right up. So I think that helps the Steelers in general and helps open things up. We got a couple in the chat room. We got it in two different leagues, same problem. Peyton Manning or Cam Newton in one, and then Peyton Manning or Phillip Rivers in the other. So I think Peyton over Rivers. It hasn't been Peyton Manning in terms of 375 and five touchdowns every week. I think he's starting to Phillip Rivers. Don't hate that matchup against Cleveland. For me, that's Peyton over Rivers. Now, Peyton Manning, Cam Newton's a little tougher, Scott. So I'm going to hop off and think about this one, and I'll let you tackle this.
Peyton Manning or Cam Newton? Man, I'm on the Cam Newton bandwagon right now. I think he's running more than ever, and it's only a matter of time before he breaks some longer runs and breaks some touchdowns. I know that Minnie's pass D might be without Xavier Rhodes, which sucks, but they do have a decent pass defense. They haven't been giving up a ridiculous amount through the air. They've held people down pretty well. Carolina against Tampa Bay. Yeah, look what every other team pretty much has done against Tampa Bay. I mean, New Orleans is awful, so they didn't play very well against Tampa Bay. But otherwise, other teams are just destroying Tampa Bay offensively. Man, I love Cam Newton this week. I think he's a top five fantasy quarterback this week.
Yeah, Cam Newton's the guy there. Yeah, it's the only thing that gives me pause. I love Cam Newton. Is anytime you're making a risk. But I agree, Cam Newton – historically torches Tampa Bay. Everyone's torched Tampa Bay this week. Cam Newton's got it rolling here a little bit. Love him. Can't mess with Rivers, so I'll go Manning there. We had a couple more in here I want to try to get caught up. We got Mark Ingram, Arian Foster, C.J. Anderson, and Ryan Matthews. Which one to sit in a non-PPR? That's a good question there. We got a couple of question marks in there. I like that one. So we're going to sit one between Ingram, Foster, C.J., and my boy Ryan Matthews.
Only have to sit one makes it pretty interesting for me. I think I'm starting Ingram and Foster out of that. I mean, this decision might be made up for him later if Foster doesn't go. I hate to say it, but C.J. Anderson, I'm still having a lot of trouble. I think he might be the one to sit this time. Ryan Matthews being second against a fairly stout Washington run D, but I think I'm saying C.J. Anderson out of those four.
Yeah, if DeMarco Murray's out, I think that's a guarantee for me. And even though Ryan Matthews may struggle a little bit, if I guess the question becomes then, if DeMarco Murray goes, do we hear DeMarco Murray has any value, and how much does he cut into Ryan Matthews' work? So I might – you know what? No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to sit C.J. Anderson. I said it last week. And I said it again. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get burned a week, and I'm willing to take this. Maybe if you're 0-3 or 1-2, you can't afford this. I'm going to sit C.J. Anderson from this point forward against pretty much anybody. I mean, somebody can throw something out there and move me off this, I'm certain. I'm going to sit him until the turnaround, and then I'm going to go. I'm going to be a week late on this. I know my job is to get everybody a week ahead, But CJ, it's too unpredictable what's going on there in Denver. And I got the whole Ryan Matthews man crush. I gotta leave that out there as well. But I think if DeMarco Murray doesn't go, I think this is fairly obvious for me. It's going to be a muddy track there in Washington in what has become the worst playing surface in the league after they spent those millions of dollars in Pittsburgh to clean up that disaster. So it's going to be raining. It's going to be cold. The field's going to be tore up. I think this is going to be a running type of game, and I think it's going to give Ryan Matthews a lot of opportunities. And in division games, Washington finds a way to blow it. So I think a big run out of a guy like Ryan Matthews is certainly plausible.
Yeah, and based on what Ryan Matthews did last week, you got to wonder if his chip's going to have a little bit of, recency bias and hot hand, wanting to play the hot hand. So,
all right, well, we got another one in the chat room. On a side note, would you keep Aguilar in a non-PPR or pick up Andre Johnson? Boy, here's two real big disappointments.
Yeah, can you imagine if you went into your season 3 years ago having Andre Johnson and Roddy White versus right now?
Right.
Father Time hits us all, or most people anyway. I agree with Dave. Roadwire had said it perfectly in there. AJ worries me. Philly offense can really only get better. I expected so much more out of them. The Philly offense also has a lot of, fairly poor pass defenses later in their schedule or coming up in their schedule. I think Aguilar is a rookie. He'll get more and more involved. I would take the upside shoot for the moon shot in Aguilar rather than the decaying corpse of Andre Johnson.
Yeah, perfectly put. The bottom line here is with Aguilar, there's some ceiling for him. Maybe he figures it out. Maybe he becomes a bigger part of the offense. Not 100% sure what the problem is. It may be a Sam Bradford problem, quite frankly. I don't know. But there is potential. There's a ceiling there for Aguilar. Here's the problem with Andre Johnson. I was right in one sense, and I was wrong, and I like to call myself out here because most people aren't willing to do that. I made the argument all offseason that even though the Colts offense was going to be a heavy pass-first offense, and it might at the time be along with everyone, it was going to be a real high-powered passing attack in Indy, which it still may be. It's been a disappointment, but let's put that aside. I made the argument that even so, it's not going to be good enough to feed three legit fantasy wide receivers. Now, all summer I was arguing it was going to be T.Y. Hilton and it was going to be Andre Johnson. I think what's bared come to fruit here is that it's T.Y. Hilton once he gets healthy, and it's Devontae Moncrief. He's not a part of that at this point. He's just a really old, he's like a legacy guy. He's just sort of hanging out around there. I don't see him turning it around. He may have a game or he may have a play here or there. He's a guy, if I felt, I'd like to have on the roster. I'd like to slide out there in the fourth quarter in a big third down situation, a guy I know can make a play if I need one. But this is going to be about Hilton and this is going to be about Moncrief going forward. Andre Johnson isn't there, so I don't see much room for vertical movement up for a guy like Andre Johnson. Aguilar, he's still a big question mark, but I think that there's much, much more potential there.
Yeah, and here's the weird thing about Andre Johnson for me. I did not think he was going to have a great year. I thought he was going to be on a complete snap count to keep him healthy to blow up in the playoffs for Indy. And that hasn't happened. They've actually tried trotting him out there as their legit top two wide receiver, and he just looks old and slow. Moncrief, just those young kids taking the old job.
All right, just came across here, Rick. DeMarco Murray is expected to go today. Does that do anything move you at all from the previous question? Was it CJ and Ryan Matthews?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Ryan Matthews, he was just too hot last week. CJ Anderson just scares me a lot more than I think they're kind of in similar situations. Ryan Matthews being the number two, but a better, I guess the matchup does suck, but he looked so much better last week. CJ Anderson, I don't know. I don't know how well he's going to do against that Vikings team today. I would probably rather still go with Ryan Matthews. And if you're going to keep calling me Rick, let me know, because I would have to grow a mustache for next week.
Oh, did I call you Rick? That is an insult. What you do is just scream and curse at me when I do that. That is impolite, and I rarely apologize, but for that, I certainly will. Back in the chat room, we'll get to the mail room here shortly, or the mailbag here shortly. Number two running back, Gore Jonathan Stewart. And I'll answer these questions. I just realized who this is, Alan. Just because we're not playing this week, I'm willing to answer these questions. Otherwise, yeah, you will be blocked on the week we play. But Scott Gore or Jonathan Stewart?
You know what? With Matt Hasselbeck in and Jonathan Stewart still a little dinged up, I do like Jonathan Stewart against Tampa Bay. Oof, man. I think I'd go Gore. I think this is finally the game this year that Gore has a decent PPR day. I'm assuming it's a PPR league. I think I would lean Gore. I understand the hesitancy. It's super close, but I think I'd just slightly lean Gore.
Yeah, not as close for me, Scott, and this might just be my Jonathan Stewart hatred. I kind of know what I'm going to get out of that. I guess he could butt the long one, but what are we looking at? 14 carries, about 60 yards. This is on the high end. I don't know if there's a high ceiling there. I talked about coming off the top here this morning. I guess you load up against the run when you're the backup quarterback there in Indianapolis. Try saying that three times fast. However, I think you simplify things, even though Hasselbeck being a veteran, you simplify things a little bit. You try to run the ball. To your point, in a PPR league, you're going to use Frank Gore out. Sorry, I'm reading the chat room. I got a couple things going. Let me reset here. Frank Gore's going to have opportunities in the passing game as they simplify things. I think Frank Gore has a decent game here, and I just know what I'm going to get out of Jonathan Stewart. And when they get down near the goal line, the problem has always been with Jonathan Stewart and or D'Angelo Williams going back a couple of years ago. We know who's getting the goal line carries, and it's not going to be Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, and something that makes you want to start Jonathan Stewart is, I mean, the Bucs have allowed the second most yards and the second most touchdowns to running back in the NFL behind Cleveland in yards and behind the Falcons in touchdowns. So that looks good for Jonathan Stewart, but, man, I still can't do it. I just feel like if Hasselbeck is – ooh, Andrew Luck is warming up a little bit. That's weird. anyway,
he did what?
Andrew Luck's on the field. He's I'm watching TV right now, and Andrew Luck's on the field. He was just throwing some passes. I don't know if he's going to play or not, but they said he's not expected to play, but he has not been ruled out. So,
wow.
But anyway, yeah, that's – I'm going to have to keep a close eye on that as a guy who's been drafting Andrew Luck since he was a sophomore in college. He's in every league of mine. But if Hasselbeck is in there, I do like some more dump-offs to Gore, so I'd take Gore.
Yeah, I think just opportunity is going to touch the ball. And I have to assume, even if Luck goes, if reports come out at 10 a.m. that he's out and then he ends up playing, he's going to be limited at best, and you could be one hit away. And he's taken some hits this week, so – think we're caught up. Isn't Jay Stu a little banged up? Shocker. I think he was born a little banged up. It's just a matter of when the one that puts him out for 3 or 4 weeks. So let's hop into, we got about 15 minutes left, hop into the mailbag. I'll try and cherry pick some of the tougher ones here. I'm benching. Yeah, we could do that. I'm not very good at that, though. I tend to drone on and on. It's kind of my thing. So I like this one. I had this one highlighted. I'm benching Eddie Lacy for Devontae Freeman and Carlos Williams today. Am I crazy? I don't know. I don't know if you're crazy. Where are you at, Scott?
Benching Eddie Lacy for who? Sorry, something came on my computer and started making noise right over you.
Devontae Freeman and Carlos Williams.
Nope, you're not crazy. I love, love, love Carlos Williams this week. And Devonta Freeman, I think there's a little bit of a fool's gold factor there. But Eddie Lacy, what was I going to say? He's playing San Francisco, which has looked decent against the run. I would waver on Lacy versus Freeman. I would probably start Lacy and Carlos Williams, but the question was, am I crazy? I don't think it's crazy.
No, I agree, and that's what I was going to say, the exact same thing. I wouldn't do it. I would go Lacy and Williams as well, but it's not insane. You wonder what a big lead for Green Bay is going to mean, and I think we can all agree that's going to happen fairly early. The fact that he's been nicked up, I don't think it's as bad as when we all push the panic button after week two, but I think you're going to see some work from Starks once they get ahead. Why take the risk with a Lacy when you're up 20 fairly early? So it's not insane. I wouldn't have the guts to do it. I'm the type of guy, I'm going to need to see it one more time out of Freeman. He's certainly not going to put up the kind of numbers he put up last week. That was just one of those weird things that got away. It was happening on the other side with Randall. So I wouldn't do it, but it's not completely insane. You know, not knowing the background of this team that he's putting together, is this, your phrase, Scott, a shoot for the moon type of play? It very well could be. And in that case, I would like it. So I wouldn't do it, but definitely nothing crazy about it. Play Rivers at Cleveland versus Cleveland, or Carr versus those god awful Bears. God spelled GAWWWD, so he must really not like the Bears.
Yeah, I'm going with Carr. I think that he very well could get another 300 yard game today, and I love Amari Cooper so much. Michael Crabtree has been consistently good, not super surprising me, but it's really nice. Now Andrew Luck is really warming up, and they're putting Andrew Luck's staff on the page. Wow. Crazy.
Yeah. All right. I guess we got to stop here a minute. If Luck goes, what do you do if you're a Luck owner?
He's still not expected to play, but, I mean, you got to put Luck in. I think even injured, you got to put Luck in. If he goes, I don't think he's coming out. So, Sorry about the interlude there. I'm just completely confused by the constant updates on Andrew Luck. I mean, it's sitting on breaking news and just, you know, showing him warming up.
Yeah, it's insane. You don't see this very often. Now here's one. We've C.J. Spiller, Andre Williams, Scott. You're in a tough spot if you're looking at one of these two. Andre Williams is looking like he might take over that job. Why I threw this question in, it's kind of interesting there. Jennings has been such a disappointment. Williams getting all the goal line looks. Then I think the writer here knows how I feel about C.J. Spiller and how Rick feels. Don't know where you're at. That's actually a tougher call for me. In this game, still going to go with C.J. Spiller, but I can see why we asked this question.
Yeah, well, today I'm going C.J. Spiller for sure because Buffalo, what is Buffalo like? Outside of the New England game, they've just been holding down running backs. So, and even if they hadn't, I really like Buffalo's D versus running backs. So, I'm not starting Andre Williams today. I'm starting C.J. Spiller. But down the road, that's going to be a more interesting question.
Yeah, and I don't know it's going to take a few weeks to see how it all plays out because we all know Tom Coughlin's never going to tell us that Andre Williams is going to be my number one guy. That's just not what he does. But, yeah, for this week, C.J. Spiller, if he's going to have a good week, this seems like the week to be it, assuming Drew Brees, although they've said he can make all the throws, assuming he's going to have a little issue there. Let's head back to the chat room. If you're a Stafford, Calvin, or Gordon owner, any chance one or more have a good week? Dave's still not convinced about the Seahawks D. And going with the do theory, which I always like, hey, that could pay off or it can bite you big time, but believes that Detroit is due. Are you panicked as a big-time Lions fan up there, Scott?
Yeah, huge Lions fan. I actually don't hate the Lions. It's they've always been lovable losers to me. But I don't think Seattle's D is as legit as it has been. I don't know what it is there. Maybe it's just they've been told too many times that they are the best, so they just assume it and don't train for it anymore. Maybe it's Cam Chancellor. I don't know, but I don't know about the do theory, but I have not been on the Golden Tate bandwagon at all. He was a flex play at best with Calvin Johnson in the game last year. When Calvin Johnson was injured or a decoy, that's where Golden Tate got his numbers. So I'm not a Golden Tate guy, but and Stafford I kind of have as a end of the QB1, start of the QB2's play. Calvin, I think he's gonna bounce back. He's been having some okay games. He's been getting you those 14 to 20 points except for week one. But I think that he'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't think you can bail out of Calvin Johnson just yet. He's just too good. Stafford, you nailed it. He's a number two at this point. I don't think he works himself consistently enough to a number one. I think he performs as a number one at times as they get easier matchups as the season moves on here. But I don't think you can trust him. But yeah, for Calvin, I think you keep him out there. Here's an interesting question, Scott. Would you drop Martavis Bryant and pick up Eric Decker, who I believe just scored here right before the half in a non-PPR league? Eric Decker's been a nice surprise for me so far this season.
Yeah, he has. This is like a total – Decker's probably going to be the safer play. He's probably the smart play. I think it really depends on roster construction. Like, if I'm sitting there – I got to admit, I can't believe they don't have someone better they can drop than Martavis Bryant, though. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
How good is the wide receiving core that Martavis Bryant, who was probably – your, what, sixth or seventh round pick, is the guy you want to cut. I don't know that I would. I'm surprised Decker's even out there. But I'd like to know what else they can cut, because I don't know that I would want to do that. I think Bryant could have a big Ben Roethlisberger, Martavis Bryant love fest come the end of your season and definitely your fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to for me as well is what
Big
situation.
Ben versus Geno/Fitz.
Yeah, well, there's that. But it's can you hold on for a few more weeks till Ben Roethlisberger comes back? Now, I still like the matchup that you talked about earlier, Scott, the hookup with Michael Vick. They seem to definitely show some rapport in the preseason, and we don't want to make too much of the preseason, as Doug Martin has taught me so far this season. But Martavis Bryant, when Ben gets back, he's going to be massive. He is going to be the red zone target. He is the tall wide receiver Ben Roethlisberger's been screaming for since Plaxico Burress left town. So I got to hold on to Bryant, but I want you to pick up Decker. I wonder if you have somebody else worth. And maybe then we'll play the Martavis Bryant or Eric Decker, who do I start game until Ben Roethlisberger comes back. Because if you look at the Steelers' schedule, they got some tough matchups. I think you're all right against San Diego. Then I believe they got Arizona coming to town. They got some tough matchups between now and when Ben Roethlisberger comes back. So we can play the game then until we see what Michael Vick. I want you to pick up Eric Decker, but I don't think Martavis Bryant is the guy to drop there. Oh, here
right.
He threw it up. Mike Evans, Randall Cobb, John Brown, Jones, and Martavis Bryant.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I don't know.
Do we maybe drop Brown for Decker?
He might be the one I'd drop out of that list. But how can he, unless his league has some weird settings, Eric Decker's playing right now, and Martavis Bryant plays Monday night. Like, how can he even make that move? Doesn't he want to just wait to see how Martavis Bryant does? And Decker, nobody can pick him up since he's playing right now?
Well, we'll be going into next week because Martavis doesn't play this Monday, so he's done.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What am I thinking? But still, I mean, he can't make this move for a few days. I suppose he wants to, yeah, future move is what he says here. Gosh,
I might think about dropping Brown with the way this Fitzgerald.
Do you have a tight end drop or a running back? Because I don't really – like, John Brown might be the one I'd want to drop out of that, but the way that Cardinals offense is going, man, I don't want to drop any of those. I don't even know if you care about Decker, honestly, with those wide receivers. When are you going to start Decker if you have those receivers?
Well, that's the point, too. Assuming even if three wide receivers and a flex – maybe, but even still, are we sitting Cobb, Evans, and Jones? You know, I don't know. It'd be tough. You'd have a tough move for league or something.
Yeah, this completely made up my mind. Because it's your wide receiver 4 or 5 that you're either never going to start, take the super high upside guy, Martavis Bryant. Don't take the safe, you know, Decker. Go with Bryant if he's sitting on the back of your bench.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. That perfect right there. Exactly. He's going to be at the end, so you got the huge upside. Because I think you get Ben back when you get to your fantasy playoffs. We could be talking about Martavis Bryant at number one wide receiver. He's been that good when he gets in space as people try to take away Antonio Brown, albeit unsuccessfully. But I think Bryant has way, way too much upside there. Wow, we only got 5 minutes left. This show is flying along. Let me move down, cherry pick some good ones. Here's an interesting one with all the news with Andrew Luck and all the issues with Drew Brees. Brandon Cooks or Dante Moncrief?
Oh, man. I'm going to go Moncrief. I'm going to go Cooks. I still think Moncrief's going to have a decent game today. If it's a PPR league, though, I really kind of like Cooks against Dallas at home. A New Orleans team that is really, really struggling and needs a win this week. I think that they're, you know, going to come out blazing. I'm not saying they'll be super successful, but I'm saying they're going to come out and actually make an attempt to light up the scoreboard a little bit. So give me Cooks.
Yeah, I think you have to there. It's safer there. Even, I don't know, with all this Andrew Luck talk, it would be so strange. I can't remember a time where we read all morning that a guy wasn't going to go and ends up going. It usually works the other way. So I think you have a lot more upside with Cooks. I'll agree with you there. Let's jump down. Here's an interesting one. We get more quarterback questions than I ever remember. There's so many guys underperforming and so many of those 13 to 17 or 18 guys performing well. Tyrod Taylor or Drew Brees this week?
Tyrod Taylor. I mean, I know Drew Brees is probably going to play here, but I just like Tyrod against the Giants, who I already said have allowed the most passing yards in the NFL this season. And he gets points with his legs. I think Tyrod is also probably a top five or six quarterback this week. With Tom Brady out, I am loving Cam Newton and Tyrod Taylor this week.
Yeah, no question about it. Oh, I did. Sorry about that, Jersey. I had to pull up the chat room in a separate room. I wasn't looking, but Scott, looks like we got Jersey on the line. If it'll answer.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. Got Jersey here. Hey, 3-0 in the other league, 2-1 in the other. Got to help Junior out in the.
All right.
Hey, Junior wants to know: does it go with Derek Carr going against Chicago in Chicago, or do you take a chance on going with Carson Palmer at home against St. Louis, who broke his leg or hurt his knee last year? Which one do you like, Palmer or Carr to start this week?
For me, Jersey, I think Derek Carr is a must start this week. Scott said it a couple times. I think he's an excellent candidate. St. Louis's defense hasn't been as terrifying as I expected it to be, number one, as they look like they'd be after that first game against Seattle. That being said, it's just such a much better matchup for Carr over Palmer. So, Scott, for me, this is Carr fairly easily, although I loved what I've seen out of Carson Palmer so far.
Yeah, this is easily Derek Carr for me. I have him pegged for a 300-yard, two-touchdown type of game. The Rams have only allowed 684 yards passing in three games and two touchdowns. Only two passing touchdowns they've allowed in three games. Now, I think Palmer's, you know, better than what they faced, probably. The Arizona Cardinals offense is probably better than what they faced. But, man, I just – I find it hard to sit Carr in such a nice week with Palmer playing one of the tougher pass defenses in the NFL.
Okay. Yeah, because I think he has Carr in there now. It's just one. Hey, quick question to me. I'm 3-0 on that PPR league. I mean, I'm missing Brady and Deion Lewis this week, so I got Manning in there. But my question is, yeah, I started Bell, I got Foster in there, and I got Jeremy Hill. You know, Devontae Adams is hurt. And I have Deion Lewis on the bye. There's no one I go with Brady. Do I get rid of D'Angelo Williams? And it's not really a lot. Like, I was going to drop in and pick up Marvin Lewis, like, on Thursday, but somebody beat me through it. I was thinking that. I guess I have enough running backs, but I have enough receivers, I guess. Is it smart to keep D'Angelo Williams in case something happens to Le'Veon Bell? He would be a plug-and-play, I mean, or is it at the point now where you can cut him? If somebody drops a good receiver, you know, a half-decent receiver, what's going on?
I think, Jersey, from what you listed there with having Lewis along with Bell, Foster, and Hill, I think you can afford – that roster spot for D'Angelo Williams. While Bell's proved durable, and hopefully this coming from a Steeler fan, hopefully this isn't anything you need to face, I think you can afford the roster spot. And as we saw in the first 2 weeks, if Bell goes down, D'Angelo Williams is the number one running back. You can plug him right in. We can debate roster, but he's going to perform better than a Jeremy Hill. I think as long as you don't run into a real desperate situation, especially now that you have Arian Foster back, and as the weeks go on, we hope he gets healthier. I don't know what you think, Scott, but it sounds to me like he can afford that roster space right now for D'Angelo Williams, and just in case, that guy, we saw what he could do through 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's pretty perfect. Everything you said is perfect. That's the same way I feel. If someone pops up that you think is a nice upside grab, I would have no qualms dropping D-Will for him, but I wouldn't drop him for just any shot, because when Bell goes out, he looked pretty good.
I actually was dropping Williams for that Carlos Williams, but the guy that's in last place grabbed him. I kind of figured he would, but I figured, hey,
right,
I'll put him for it. The worst can happen is somebody else gets him before me, because I had like the 12th pick. So, but that. I really appreciate your help, guys. Hopefully I'll go 4-0. We get Junior squared away. I think he does have a corner in there, so appreciate you helping him. And always a pleasure talking to you guys on Sunday morning. Best of luck to you guys this week in your leagues, and we'll chat again next Sunday. Thanks for the advice. I really appreciate it. Enjoy your day.
I appreciate it. Take care, Jersey. Great to
Thanks,
hear from
Jersey.
You. All right, Scott. We're up against the clock. Let's throw one more in. I like this question. Need an RB2 from Vereen, Abdullah, or Rawls? Rawls pops his head back up again. And everybody out there that sent emails, I'm going to email you back. Sorry we didn't get to a lot of them on the show. Great job, everyone in the chat room. It's been a great show. Had a really good time. Didn't get to a ton of these. I will answer each and every one of them. But last one here, Scott, I almost did it again. I'm sorry. Vereen, Abdullah, or Rawls?
Well, let me finish writing this down. More Scott equals great show. Okay.
We have the title.
I think Vereen is easily the safest. Rawls, I think, is the highest upside play, and I think Abdullah is stuck in the middle. If it's a PPR league, I can't remember if you said it was or not. I think
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is? Okay. I think Vereen is the guy that's probably going to get you 8 to 10 points. If you need a lot of points, I think I'd go balls out and try starting Rawls.
I don't have the gut. Well, I don't have the gut, Scott.
Yeah, but here's the great thing about starting Rawls. He plays Abdullah Monday night. So if you decide to sit Vereen, you can wait up until game time Monday night and make the call which one you want to go with.
That's brilliant. I'm going to give you that one, Scott. You nailed it. Let's go ahead. Yeah, I agree 100%. Let's sit Vereen. I haven't been blown away. We get a ton of Vereen questions. Was it week two? I believe he had the 8 or 10 targets or something like that. I don't think he's going to be that part of that offense as he was in New England. So Abdullah Rawls, I think we've seen short of week one, now we've seen over the last couple of weeks, what Abdullah is going to be. He's got an opportunity to get in the end zone, but he's going to have to bust one, so that makes me nervous. If they tell us Lynch is out, I guess the question becomes, Scott, we'll go over here a little bit. Do you trust that with Rawls being the darling here this week out of nowhere? We saw this in Buffalo so many times. Do you trust that he's going to get enough work over Fred Jackson, who can tend to take a game over? That's where I'm getting hung up. Everybody's in on Rawls, but Fred Jackson is there. Fred Jackson, to me, is the number two. How much work does Rawls look at? So for me, we're need to feel comfortable that he's going to get enough work that I can trust him over Rick's boy, Fred Jackson.
Yeah, I think that they're kind of like the 2A, 2B, right? I feel like they also wouldn't mind keeping Fred Jackson and his 47-year-old body healthy, and Thomas Rawls, the 22-year-old, that probably, during the season, want to give him a little more action. That way they have all three backs for the playoffs. For fantasy owners, that means Rawls might be a little safer than we might normally think. It is risky, but Rawls just looked so good last week, and he clearly is a good goal line force. He looks like it anyway.
Right. So, yeah, I'm going to go with you because there's such risk even with Abdullah as he got drafted in the fourth round of so many leagues late in August where he's killing you if he can pick balls. Higher ceiling, equal floor. So yeah, why not? Why not take the chance? So what do we got in the chat room? Oh, we should set up a league here with the regulars, and then we could discuss the weekly results. I do love that idea, although Dave nailed it where he says, but after we kick the crap out of Fleeger, he may stop the show. That's a fair point, Scott. I am not above just pulling the plug in the middle of a show. I lack somebody, an HR person at my old job one time told me I lack emotional intelligence. I don't know what that means, but I think that this is what they were talking about.
So I'm not sure what that means either. I'll have to think about that all week and let you know if I find anything. I still think it would be pretty fun. I don't know if it'd be more fun as a best ball or actually start your lineups type of league, but yeah, that would be fun to try.
All right. Well, we are at 11:35. Scott, thank you so much for bailing me out once again. Hopefully the Monopoly man gets everything put together and we can get back and do it with three, which is the best way to do it. Although I think we agreed pretty much all day today, so didn't leave too many people hanging. I appreciate it. Why don't you tell everybody about the show and where they can find you?
At ScottFish24. I'm on this little show called the Ball Rush Podcast, which is pretty awesome. I miss a lot of them because I have trouble making podcasts and the schedule doesn't really allow it. But when I'm on, it's a lot of fun. Sign up for Scott Fish Bowl next year at scottfishbowl.com.
Scott Fish Bowl 720, right?
Possibly. We'll see how it works out.
All right, Scott, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it. You bailed me out once again today. Good luck this week, and I'll be talking to you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the chat room, too. It's a pretty awesome chat room today. You have a good one, Rick.
Thanks, Scott. Take care. All right, that was Scott Fish, the proprietor of the Scott Fish Bowl and one-third of the Bull Rush podcast. Check that out. Good fantasy information, and it is hilarious. It's a really, really great show, so check that out. I need to get the website updated. If I don't have the most recent episode up, it will be up before kickoff here today, so check that out. Just hilarious. Ty Miller, Frank the Tank, and Scott, a really great show, one I definitely enjoy listening to. They have some fun along with it. So thanks to the chat room. Thanks to the callers. Thanks to everyone who listened. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we get Rick back here real soon. I think he's about got everything wrapped up. He's going to be a businessman. He's going to come in here with his monocle and his top hat and everything will be good. But appreciate what everybody has done to help keep me aboard here. We'll be back Wednesday. Programming note, however, Wednesday's episode will be pre-recorded. We're going to pre-record it Tuesday as the Pirates are going to be taking on the Cubs in a wild card game Wednesday that I don't want to miss. So we're going to pre-record that. AsylumFantasySports.com. We got shows all week. Check it out. Bull Rush. We got Fantasy Sports Rant, Fantasy Football Consistency Show with Bob Long. Check all of those out. AsylumFantasySports.com. Also, Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern. I believe they replay at 9 o'clock Eastern. We have the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network, fantasysportsnetwork.com, cable vision channel 187, and all types of providers all along the Canada and the Northeast. So check that out. So appreciate it all. Good luck this week. Hit us up at Asylum Football on Twitter for anything last minute. Otherwise, we'll see you Wednesday.
Up ACDC, Hank Skinner, George Strait. Where's the girls? About to call them up. A little Southern draw, but hey, trouble, what's up? It's going down tonight. And now they're growing up, got jacked up trucks, slab covered in mud. Teeny tops and Daisy Duke down. Hopping out, singing outlaw women down. On my side of the bomb wild. Grows and rules, if it don't, you don't grow. So hang out by the bonfire. Good old boys having a thing good time. Crank it out. Stay away from other boys' women. That's one damn good way.